our weekly visit with Matthew Jones from Olympus Legal. Love this. You know, we stray into the legalities of the sports world. Matthew, appreciate your spending a few minutes with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So we're going to go into, you know, it's one of the more tragic stories, really, of the NBA season and maybe of the sporting year. Pelicans guard Bryce DeJean Jones shot and killed. He had gone to Dallas to help celebrate his daughter's first birthday, 23 years old. Relationship with the mother of his daughter, not great. You know, and the details are still a little spotty, but essentially, of what his agent said, he had taken a walk and, you know, I don't know, I guess things weren't going well late at night. So he knocks on what he believed to be his the mother of his daughter's apartment door, wants to get in. Again, there's the detail. I'm sure much more will come out about this. Knocks the front door down, goes to the bedroom door, is pounding on the bedroom door, and they're not real clear what happened, but it was not her apartment. It was an innocent guy asleep who happened to be a licensed handgun carrier and did what anybody would do when threatened. Somebody breaks down two doors to get into your bedroom. He shot him. And so Bryce DeJean Jones, an up-and-coming young player with the New Orleans Pelicans, passed away from the wounds. These are difficult things, but these happen all the time in the world, and sometimes, you know, the world washes over into the sports realm. So, Matthew, I guess my first question is, you know, it's also tragedy for the poor guy who woke up and is terrified and defends himself, right? I mean, his life has changed forever, too.
Yeah, that's correct. It really is a tragedy from both perspectives. I mean, the gentleman's just sleeping at night, and my understanding it was early in the morning, and a guy breaks down both doors, and the next thing you know, you're defending yourself. But I think it's got to be very difficult to know that you, even though it was, you know, in self-defense, you took someone's life. I mean, it's very sad from both perspectives.
Sure. Now, legally, you know, again, you're not representing anybody in this case, but from your view, I don't, you know, I think police would just rule this a tragic mistake, and, you know, I don't know that you can charge the guy with anything, can you?
No, and like you said, the details are still coming out, and I know that the police are still investigating. The articles that I read said that they were considering charges. I think that's mostly just procedural. They're, of course, going to do their due diligence and make sure that they have all the facts straight, but from everything I've read to this point, the gentleman was just defending his home. He has the right to do that under almost every state's law. I don't think there's really much you can charge him with at this point.
I guess the key would be that it's a licensed handgun. If it's not, then he's in a whole lot more trouble.
Absolutely, yeah. They're going to do their report and their investigation and make sure that the handgun was licensed and make sure he was legal to own a handgun. Make sure that he wasn't owning a handgun illegally or didn't, you know, that sort of thing. And then, you know, as long as everything was okay legally with the handgun, I don't see any other reason that he would be charged with anything at this point.
And the other side of this is, you know, we don't know exactly what happened, but his agent said he took a walk and then at 3:30 in the morning, you know, comes back and breaks down a door. Now, normally, a walk would calm you down, and you're fired up about whatever. And clearly, you know, he came to town hoping to celebrate his daughter's first birthday. It didn't go so well, apparently. And you know, it's the wrong apartment. That's a whole other story. But from his perspective, you know, if he had not been shot, what would he be facing? I mean, breaking and entering, and I mean, all kinds of charges, even if it's a mistake.
Yeah, there was clearly something, in my opinion, going on that precipitated all this. Like you
right.
said, with his ex or his girlfriend, or I don't know if it was an ex-girlfriend, but he was obviously clearly agitated. To me, kicking down two doors shows that he was probably, you know, I don't know the
under
guy.
Under the influence of something?
Under the influence, yeah, and definitely probably up to not a lot of good.
Right.
You know, he would have definitely faced trespassing, breaking and entering. You know, there's a whole host of things that he could have been charged with if he had not been tragically killed.
And if he breaks in and it is her place, then, you know, then who knows what kind of domestic issues we have in play. And if she has another, and maybe she's dating somebody else and he's there, then, you know, there's all kinds of ramifications. So, I mean, it's all the way around. It was he took a walk, and then from then on, just a bunch of series of bad things one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, this whole thing was just very tragic, and he was obviously agitated for some reason, and it just did not end well.
And yet, you know, the guy comes into town to celebrate his daughter's first birthday, and that, you know, that indicates he's not a deadbeat dad. He's caring and, you know, wants to be there. Now, again, we have no idea the details. We don't know what the relationships are all about. But, you know, on its face, everybody in the New Orleans Pelicans organization is talking about, you know, what a character kid he was, and what a tragedy it is, and certainly, you know, making the effort to go in, and clearly it wasn't a simple path to celebrate his daughter's birthday. I mean, that adds to the whole, you know, the whole tragedy is this is not a guy who, you know, at least from what all we know, was a bad kid.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the tragedy is, like you said, he was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to celebrate his daughter's first birthday. He clearly was trying to take an interest in her life. And the tragic thing now is, because of this mistake, this little girl is going to grow up without her father, and that's just really too bad.
Exactly. And you know, as we said, I really feel for the guy, too, the guy who was innocently sleeping and happened to have, you know, he had protection, legal protection. I think I read it was a licensed handgun. They're, you know, police are going to do what they have to do, but if all that checks out, it's tragic for him too. He's got to live with the fact that, you know, he didn't want to do any of this.
Yeah, like I said, I can't imagine. That's one of, you know, probably the worst case scenario for anybody, is to have something like this happen where someone's breaking into your home and you're forced to choose between, you know, your life and potentially and the life of someone else, and that have to make that decision is something I hope I never have to face, but it's definitely tragic for him. And, you know, I hope he ends up okay after all this.
Yeah, no, it's just sad all the way around. It's one of those things that, you know, you see develop, and I mean, from the beginning, the story was bad, and the details came out and it just got worse and worse. And then, as you mentioned, the daughter's got to grow up with this story of her dad. And, you know, it is, it's just way too bad. Before I let you go, I want to just get a quick check in. This ongoing, and I use the word ongoing, you know, we're over 500 days, I think, on Deflategate. And Tom Brady has added another couple of superstars, Kenneth Feinberg and the AFL-CIO. What does it mean when the foremost labor group in the country joins his legal team and his fight to get a rehearing? I mean, it seems more and more when he has sort of a consensus of different types on his team, when the judges who are considering, you know, whether to grant a rehearing, what, you know, this seems to rise above, because they're bringing in all, you know, sort of a national labor relations feel to this thing too, and they're challenging and making it about, you know, labor in every workplace.
Yes, and I think that's exactly what they have to do to have any shot of getting the rehearing, like we've discussed. Right now, the issue is fairly narrow in terms of the issue in front of the Court of Appeals is simply whether the commissioner had the right to do the arbitration and whether he went outside the bounds of the collective bargaining agreement. What Tom Brady's got to do, and what I think the labor union is trying to do, is show that this has more national importance. And I haven't read the brief that they filed, but it's my understanding that what they're trying to show is that if this decision is allowed to stand, then it affects labor throughout the country in terms of it would erode the confidence in arbitrations.
Right.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's exactly what I think that Brady's team's got to do to show that this goes beyond the NFL, because it's simply an NFL issue and stays within the realms of the NFL, and whether the commissioner had the right to do what he did. I don't think he wins, but if the court is convinced somehow that this could affect people nationally, it helps him with the en banc request, and then, of course, it helps him with the request of the Supreme Court if he decides to take it that far.
And I guess at the core of this is their stance that the commissioner not only, you know, presided over the whole process, but then you know, rendered his judgment, then presided over the appeal hearing. He was the arbitrator, and that's okay as long as he acts in that role fairly. And I think that's the rub, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you know, and I'm not sure it's even necessarily fair. I think what the hearing or the ruling was simply that
you're right. We can't expect fairness. That's true.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
No, I know. I know. You're right. He works for the owners. No, I get it.
He works for the owners, and under the collective bargaining agreement, did he stay within the collective bargaining agreement? That's really the issue. Now, whether it was fair, I'm not even sure the Court of Appeals heard that issue, whether it was fair. And I think, you know, there's all kinds of opinions on whether it was fair, and we could go into that for days. But at this point, simply, did he exercise his power correctly under the collective bargaining agreement? If he did, I think the ruling stands. But again, Tom Brady, I think his team was trying to show that it wasn't fair, and this is going to affect people throughout the entire country.
Right. And my last question for you, Matthew Jones with Olympus Legal, this will end in our lifetime, right? Or you're not sure, but you're hedging your bets saying it probably will.
I think the legal side will end in our lifetime. Now, whether something happened, we may rage on for, I don't know, decades. So.
Hey, great stuff. Appreciate you handling the sensitivity of the first issue. It was difficult to get into, but it does present, you know, legal ramifications, and I appreciate your weighing in on that. And then the ongoing Brady thing is it gets tedious, believe me. But again, great stuff. Matthew Jones, Olympus Legal. Tell me now about maybe ways that you're able to help folks as we turn from the spring into the summer. Some of the things that some of the areas where you particularly, maybe your business picks up in the spring and summer for some reasons, but tell us a little bit about what you can do for folks out there. And obviously your legal mind is sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. So the summertime, as you know, is a time for vacations and travel. And there's a lot of people traveling for trips and their cars, and auto accidents tend to go up quite a bit during the summer. So if anyone's involved in an auto accident, I definitely recommend that they contact our firm and get some information about their legal options. Give some advice on what their rights are and come in and talk to us, and we can help them out, get them any damages they may be entitled to, and at least walk them through the process at this point.
Yeah, and again, I like to point out, because I'm a big believer in asking, even if it's dumb. I mean, there are no real dumb questions. If it's a question in your mind out there and you need clarification, that's what Matthew's job is. And if it turns out to be something he can help you with on a larger scale, he's right there for you. So tell them how they can reach you. It's OlympusLegal.com, first of all, right?
Yep, OlympusLegal.com. You can go on there and send an email to me. I also have my cell phone, which is 801-707-7999. And, you know, you can call me, you can text me. I respond fairly quickly if I can't pick up right then. And I'll be more than happy to answer any question. Like I said, no question's dumb. The legal process is definitely confusing and quite frankly, overwhelming for people who aren't familiar with it. So give me a call, and I'll be happy to help you any way I can.
All right. Again, it's 801-707-7999, and it's www.olympuslegal.com. Matthew Jones, really enjoyed talking to you today. Thanks for breaking those situations down for us. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Great. Thank you, Tom.